is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ, featuring T.A. McMahon and produced by The Berean Call. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in. In today's program, we continue with our discussion of Paul's epistle to the Romans. Along with his co-host, Greg Durrell, here's T.A. McMahon.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a program in which we encourage looking to the Bible alone for God's specific communication to mankind, for what God says about himself, what he says about us, and what he expects of us, and most importantly, what he has done for us that we might spend eternity with him. My out-of-studio partner on today's program is Greg Durrell. Greg is pastor of Heritage Bible Church of Gretna, Louisiana, a co-founder of Reaching Catholics for Christ, and host of the daily radio program, As It Is Written. Greg, thanks for joining me.
Oh, Tom, always a pleasure to be here.
We're currently going through the book of Romans, and we're resuming with chapter 13, and we're going to pick up with verse 11. Paul writes, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than we believed." Now, Greg, there are a few terms in there that could be misunderstood. Awake out of sleep, what does that mean? And then salvation. I thought we've already been justified, and we were justified in a point of time when we received Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we believed upon him for all that he's done, for paying the full penalty for our sins. Wasn't that salvation? So how are we to understand this?
Well, you know, Tom, firstly, it says in that knowing the time. So I think we need to ask the question, perhaps, what time is it? Certainly it's a time to know what time it is. Paul's inference here basically is that the religious world had fallen asleep, and they were resting in their own mindsets and efforts. And as he says, it's a time to awake out of that slumber, to wake out of that sleep. It's a time for salvation. And then he says, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. He's not saying that when you believe that you're not saved, but what he's talking about, as he commented in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the fullness of our salvation. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean we're not completely saved? No, it means obviously we are justified. Certainly we are in Christ for time and eternity. But if you remember back in Romans chapter 8, matter of fact, I'll turn to it. In verse 22, he says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies." And that's what Paul's talking about. When he says our salvation is nearer than when we believe, our salvation meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, and when Christ returns, then we receive that glorified body. So he's talking about the culmination of everything. And another proof text here, as Paul inferred in many other places in the New Testament, that he believed in the imminent return of Christ. Paul believed that Christ could return at any time, as every believer should. So this is sort of a warning passage, and at the same time a bit of encouragement. He's saying, wake up, now's the time for salvation. Now's the time to recognize this. Wake out of this slumber and know that the return of the Lord and our glorification is nearer now than when we first got saved.
Mm-hmm. Greg, you grew up Roman Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. And we weren't encouraged to read the Bible, to read the Word of God. And there are so many things in it that we were never taught as Roman Catholics. Roman Catholics claim to believe in the sacred scriptures, but they also have sacred tradition. They have ideas that men over the years have added to the scriptures. And some, when I say added to, they contradict the scriptures in many ways, or they don't give you information that you need to have to understand really sound doctrine, what God teaches, and so on. They've confused it, I believe. At least that's my perspective. And certainly the idea of the imminent return of Christ was never taught. Did you ever learn that?
Oh, never. The blessed hope, as Paul tells us, he tells Titus, he says that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was never heard of coming up as a Roman Catholic. You were never taught to sit in anticipation of the physical return of Christ to receive you unto himself. I mean, that was just not anywhere to be found in Roman Catholicism. The focus today is not even on the return of Christ. It's always in the empirical circle, the political agenda, the liberation theology type thing, make bad men do good things by moral action and social action. Never did we, I mean, you and I both know that. Anybody listening who grew up Roman Catholic knows you were never taught that in catechism. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was never your hope. You never contemplated that. You didn't know what was going to happen to you. You didn't know anything about a glorification of a body. You didn't know anything about the resurrection of the dead or that there were two resurrections and two judgments. You didn't know any of those things, and I think for obvious reasons.
Yeah. The sad thing is that bringing some Catholic ideas to the reading of the Scripture, it's going to be startling. Because you say, wait a minute, I never heard that. But these are so critically important. For example, those who are either Roman Catholics or those evangelicals that have some understanding of Roman Catholicism, you know that salvation is a process. You can't know that you are saved. You're not allowed to believe that you are justified simply by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So consequently, salvation is a process of good works. They would say, oh, it's by grace, but nevertheless, it is a process of being justified in your infant baptism or, you know, if you're a convert to Roman Catholicism through your baptism, and then it's a process of losing your justification through mortal sin and being re-justified and so on. So it is a process of salvation for spending eternity with God, reaching heaven. Certainly, you have to go through purgatory. Most people do, unless you die just soon after you've been baptized as an infant. And there are other ways, the church says. But basically, salvation is a process. And you're doing good works to maintain that process. Whereas, as an evangelical who has been justified, there's nothing that you can do, according to the Scriptures, to earn or merit your salvation. Christ did it all, so you put your faith and trust in Him. But then what about a life of pleasing God? We would call it sanctification. This is the teaching. What I'm getting at here is the teaching of the imminent return of Christ. That's part of our motivation for living a life that is pleasing to Him, because He's going to return for us, and we want to be pleasing. We want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not for salvation. He's already taken care of that. But to please Him, who we are going to spend eternity with.
Well, you know, Tom, there are people who are listening who are saying, ah, well, those guys don't know what they're talking about. The church doesn't teach this. The church doesn't teach that. As a matter of fact, I read a review the other day of someone who read your, matter of fact, marvelous book, Showtime for the Sheep. And the review was, obviously, McMahon didn't know much about Roman Catholicism or doesn't know much about Roman Catholicism because he cites the Council of Trent in the book. And they kind of sort of guffawed Trent, ridicule Trent. Now, you and I both know, when you said the Catholic Church teaches that you can't know that you're saved forever. That's the sin of presumption.
Right.
Those are dogmatic decrees that you, if you say you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone, then you're anathema. Then you are not saved. And for our Catholic listeners, they have to understand that just because some 21st century apologist does the cowardly crawfish, tap dances around the issues and tries to say, well, that doesn't mean that, that's not really what they were saying. The reality is, those councils and those statements, according to Rome, are infallible. And so I would ask people just to get a general dictionary and look up words like gift, look up words like freely. If you have been given something freely, does that mean you have to maintain it by doing things? Do you have to make installment payments? And as you pointed out, when we were Catholic and Catholicism has not changed, their motto is Semper Eadem, always the same. They taught the same things 100 years ago as they teach today. And that is, you have to work for your salvation. You're earning it. Well, then, how does that harmonize with the terms that are used repeatedly by Paul and others, that this eternal life is a gift and that we're justified freely? And that it's not of works of righteousness, which we have done. It's not of works. It's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. I would just ask them just to get a dictionary, look up those words, and see if those words are harmonious with the theology of Rome, and they're going to find that they are absolutely diametrically opposite to to what Rome teaches.
Right. You know, it's important here to explain salvation, the differences. If we are justified, that is our salvation. The scripture says, I think it's Philippians 2:12, somewhere in there, that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Well, you don't work something out that you don't have.
Exactly.
Okay? So it's a gift, as Greg said, and he didn't say it of his own thought. This is from the scriptures. But this is important because as we get into verse 12 and following, we're encouraged that Christ is coming for us, that the days are evil and we need to reflect his light in his life. Let me pick up with verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now, again, this is figurative language. This is when evil is abounding, all right? And the day is at hand, the day of Christ. He's coming for us, for his church. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In other words, yes, we've been saved by faith. But we've been saved also, Ephesians 2:10 tells us, unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand. So there's plenty to do, not for salvation, but to work out your salvation, to please God, to be used of him in the lives of others. And this armor of light, what's that all about? Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We pick up with verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there's some figurative language in here, but it talks about preparation to be used of the Lord, to stand fast in the faith, to be fruitful and productive in our lives. And it all comes from God's word, right, Greg?
Absolutely. And I think even more so, verse 12, Paul is reemphasizing this hope of this anticipation of the return of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. And without Christ, without that hope of Christ coming, he's also referred to as the morning star. So Paul is saying, the day is dawning, believers. It's time to wake up. It is almost time for the morning star to come. And when the morning star comes, there'll be no more darkness. There'll be no second chance at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So wake out of our slumber, embrace the gospel message, understand that the fullness of our salvation, if we can use that term correctly, that in other words, we will be glorified, we will be received unto him. And then your point, he emphasizes in verse 13, let us walk. And then he talks honestly as in the day. And then he comments from there. So it's imperative that believers understand that the hour is urgent, that there's not a people say, well, I'll think about these things later. I'm too busy right now. Well, you better be too busy thinking about the Lord and being diligent about the commission and the ambassadorship that he has given us, not so that we can be saved, but in fact, because we are.
Right. And Greg, sometimes there are objections. Well, if you're just saved by faith and you're saved right now, you can go do whatever you want because you believe that once saved, always saved. And somebody who brings those arguments, they're not reading the scripture. Because look, let's go on with verse 13 and 14. It says, let us walk honestly. We're always encouraged, exhorted to walk in him, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So we're constantly exhorted. We're constantly encouraged to live a life that reflects his light and his life if we're going to be used of him today. I mean, you know, we have this temporal life. We keep looking for the blessed appearance, as you mentioned earlier, Greg. But we do it to please him. We're going to see him. We're excited that he's coming. And we want to hear again those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
You're listening to According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. Now, Tom and Greg address questions from listeners in this week's Q&A.
Greg, this listener writes, I'm interested in what Roman Catholics believe about the Holy Spirit. Do they believe that they are sealed with the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13, and 4:30? And if so, when does that take place? Now, Greg, I've searched many of the documents, catechisms, official teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm not sure it ever says. My understanding is that at baptism, the Holy Spirit comes into the person, but it doesn't really say comes in, that they become a member of the church, they would die in that condition, they would go to heaven. But with regard to the biblical teaching of being sealed with the Holy Spirit, I'm not so sure. I know that later in confirmation, they receive the Holy Spirit as kind of a shore them up and encourage them. But I don't know of any teaching in the Catholic Church that would be consistent with, well, let me go to 2 Corinthians 1:22. Let me start with 1:21. Now, he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest, that is the security, of the Spirit in our hearts. Then Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom ye also trusted, that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the, going to verse 14, which is the earnest or security of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, with what my understanding of Roman Catholicism, having grown up Roman Catholic, as we mentioned earlier, I don't see how they reconcile that with the teachings of the church. Do you agree?
No, it would be completely impossible, because there is no security in Roman Catholic theology. You can never know if you died a month from today where you would go. Your answer would have to be, I hope, I think, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You could never say. As a matter of fact, again, I know St. Peter's Catechism, about page 70, Council of Trent for sure, talks about the sin of presumption. And you would be committing the sin of presumption to say you can know those things. The Scripture tells us just the opposite, though. If you are sealed with the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption, how then can you get unsealed? Mm-hmm. Who seals you? The Lord does. So is his sealing deficient? Is it defective? Can you pry that seal away? And I think there are theological issues like that that the Scripture is very plain on and very consistent on, that Rome simply completely circumvents. They just will not address those things. And that's why you're not going to find any clear definitive teaching anywhere in their catechisms on that.
Again, Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, maybe it's a different translation, but these verses in the King James talk about earnest. Isn't it the New King James says a guarantee?
Sure. Well, that's anybody that's old enough to remember the term earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
You went to buy a car, and you said, look, I'm coming back to pick it up. And someone says, well, give me some earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
It was the guarantee that you were coming back to get it. And the King James uses that same phraseology, that we have a guarantee. What is the guarantee that we are saved? The fact that we are indwelled by the Spirit, sealed until the day of what? Redemption. The redemption of our bodies that we spoke about in Romans chapter 8 and saw again in Romans chapter 13. So it's important that we understand that. The Catholic has no idea of that whatsoever. He's kind of on the trail, kind of winging it by himself, trying to, well, you and I both know, where does Christ reside? He resides in the soul of the believer. But according to Rome, you have to go ingest him on an ongoing basis.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole person of Jesus and the Holy Spirit are completely different. Rome is a different Christ, and they have a different spirit because they don't function, act, or even in any way give any biblical basis to the things that they do or say.
Great. For a listener out there, let's say a Roman Catholic listener who's just grinding, just really upset now because of what you just said, you didn't make this up.
Well, no.
Our encouragement to anyone listening to this program, this is called According to God's Word. We're encouraging you to read this in God's Word and then compare what you read with what you were taught. by your church. And again, I don't care if it's a Lutheran church, Catholic church, a Methodist, Baptist. We're to be Bereans. We're to search the scriptures daily to see if these things that we hear on a spiritual level are true or not.
Well, and I would challenge the listeners too. What would be the agenda? What would be the purpose? It would be a lot easier for us to tell everybody that Jesus loves everybody and everybody's great. And for $19.95, we'll send them a prayer cloth that was anointed from our body. And we could get healthy, wealthy, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not here to sell them anything. We're not trying to make them quit something or do something. We're just sharing with them biblical truth. And if they feel that something has been misspoken or misrepresented, then if nothing else, then, as you said, let them go search the scriptures, search the catechisms, and find the harmony, and then call us or write us and tell us where it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would like to know. I would like to know how the biblical position of the indwelling and sealing of the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. harmonizes with Rome's position of the Holy Spirit. I would love to see that.
Yeah. And if they say, oh, man, they want me to read the whole Bible. That's a big, thick book. No, just read the New Testament. Okay? It's not very big. It's not very thick. But in it are the words of life, the words of truth, and so on. And if you go for it with a heart that wants to know the truth, not just somebody that wants to prove us wrong, okay? Who are we? We're nobodies, all right? But if you have a heart for truth, that's where you go. Jesus said, if you continue, abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And all Greg and I are trying to do here is point you, the best we can be, a signpost, pointing you to the Word of God, to what He says. These are His words, His truth, not ours. And we're so thrilled to be a part of introducing this maybe to some people who haven't heard it before. But that's it. You know, we're just nobodies. But it's God's Word, it's His truth, it's His Holy Spirit, who you will receive as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You know, the people who say, Tom, not to interrupt you, but the people who say it's such a big book, it's a big task, I would challenge them all. If they would just dedicate an equal amount of time that they spend each week reading the sports page or the funny papers in the paper,
mm-hmm.
just dedicate an equal amount of time reading the scripture, they would probably read the scripture through at least once, maybe twice a year.
Yeah. Or how about 1 half-hour sitcom? Just say, I really didn't like that one anyway.
Yeah.
I think I'll read the scripture.
Yeah. How many times you sit around flipping and people say, there's nothing on TV to watch. Well,
yeah.
Then fine. Turn it off and spend an hour reading the scripture and watch the impact it'll have on your life.
Exactly. Greg, we've got about a minute left. What would you add to your further encouragement?
Well, all I can tell them is this, that the Word of God is just that. It's the Word of God. It's the source of our spiritual growth, our spiritual constitution, if you will. Paul says faith comes by hearing, and hearing or understanding the Word of God. If you want more faith, if you want your faith to be bolstered, you must ingest God's Word. It's the spiritual food to renew the spiritual man. And anyone who calls themselves a Christian and doesn't dedicate any time to make sure they're properly fed spiritually is only cheating themselves. So I would encourage them all, be the Berean, spend the time, read the scripture. And I think most of our listeners, perhaps in a few months, would come back, those that disagree, and say, you know what, guys, you're absolutely right.
If you have questions for Tom and his guests to address in a future broadcast, stay with us. In a moment, we'll let you know where to send them. This is According to God's Word, a radio ministry of Reaching Catholics for Christ. And now, to tell you more about Reaching Catholics for Christ, here's Tom McMahon.
The primary mission of Reaching Catholics for Christ is to support former Catholics and other believers in their endeavor to personally minister the biblical gospel to their Catholic loved ones, friends, and acquaintances. Reaching Catholics for Christ is committed to increase the effectiveness of ministries which have been called to proclaim the biblical gospel to Catholics, and to help such ministries educate the body of Christ as to the unbiblical nature of Roman Catholic salvation. Gary?
We offer a wide selection of teaching materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For more information about Reaching Catholics for Christ, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Or visit our website at www.reachingcatholics.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast, ask for program number 4004. And please mention the call letters of this station. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you can join us again next week for According to God's Word.